Good morning, Grow Church. Oh, I'm really encouraged this morning just listening to, you know what the girls have been doing and raising money. And I want to thank Sharon for praying for me this morning and laying on hands. I'm actually going to be talking about obedience to God, so hearing all these things has actually just encouraged me with my sermon. So let's pray before we start. Father God, as I bring this message today, I just pray your Holy Spirit will guide me and let my words be your words. And I just pray that this is what you want the church to hear. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, this morning I'm going to share with you about obedience to God. So who has an easy job? Obeying. So yeah, you put your hand down pretty quickly. Obeying, like doing what your teachers want you to do or what your boss says. Cleaning rooms. Oh, there no. Taking out the trash. Oh, Jan. Following speed limits. I got there, yeah. Even Batman has trouble obeying speed limits, apparently. So, obedience in general, you know, you might think it's easy, but it's not always an easy thing. Big things like robbing banks and, you know, not killing someone, yeah. But it's those little things that, you know, we're only obedient in 99% of the time. And we think, oh, that 1% doesn't matter. But with God, he expects 100%. I mean, we expect 100% from our children. If they don't comply completely, then they're not being obedient. We know what obedience is. I mean, it seems pretty straightforward. But I can honestly say that I'm not obedient all the time. But I am getting better. So obedience to God is an interesting thing. One of the Greek words in the New Testament for obedience means to trust. If we've got that up there, good. So I'd looked at a couple of biblical dictionary references and found a simple way of understanding biblical obedience to God means to hear, trust, submit, and surrender to his word. Hear, trust, submit, and surrender to God and his word. Sounds simple, right? But there are many people in the Bible who did just that, but there were some who didn't. I mean, Jonah is a classic who didn't. He heard from God, but he didn't trust and submit. And his surrender only came after being in the belly of a big fish for 3 days. Not exactly where we want to find ourselves. However, there are many, many people who did obey God. Obedience to God is not an easy thing to do. Sometimes God asks us to do things which may seem impossible. I mean, Queen Esther, although she was afraid to approach the king, it meant certain death for her to go up and see him unless invited, but she did it. And although she was afraid and she did what God wanted, she saved her people. Daniel chose not to stop praying to God and he was thrown in a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they refused to bow to a golden statue and were thrown into a fiery furnace. So what may we be afraid to do that God wants us to do? Are we afraid to talk to our neighbours at work or work colleagues or friends at school about Jesus? Are we afraid to approach a stranger in the street that needs help? Is this because we know the consequences are not always what we want? And as Siobhan explained last week in her sermon, obeying God can lead to persecution. Although there are many great events of obedience in the Bible, for me, one of the greatest in the Old Testament is Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. So, I've just got some pickies up there. I just want to give you a bit of a backstory. So, this event that we're about to read today becomes even more significant knowing that Sarah and Abraham had waited so long to become parents. And on the on the lead up to today's reading, Sarah had waited 90 years to become a mother. Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. Her maidservant Hagar also had a child to Abraham, Ishmael. And a few years earlier, Ishmael a few years earlier, but Sarah sent them away after they'd made fun of Isaac. So there are a lot of issues to have Isaac. And I think how precious that child was to Sarah and Abraham and how difficult it was to conceive him. And the huge expectation that was placed upon him. So I want us now, with that in mind, to read Genesis 22, 1 to 18. So we've got it up there, but if you can't read it, you have a Bible or an app or whatever you use these days. All right, so let's read this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. "Abraham," God called. "Yes," he replied, "here I am." "Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you." The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. "Stay here with the donkey," Abraham told the servants. "The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will go worship there, and then we will come right back." So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife, as the two of them walked on together. Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire and the wood," the boy said, "but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know you truly fear God. You have not withheld him from me, even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means "the Lord will provide." To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. "This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants all nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me." Well, I don't know about you, but that whole event I just find amazing, empowering, but yet confronting. Abraham went willingly to the point of full surrender, full obedience to God. No hesitation that we know of. That knife came up and was ready to plunge full thrust into his son. Now, as a parent, there are days you want to throttle your kids, yeah, but actually, to bind your only son, who God had promised you, you waited so long for, went through so much, and then putting him on top of basically a bonfire and lifting a knife to kill him. As a mother, I can't even imagine this. For those of you who don't have children, like your younger kids out there, think of a beloved pet or someone that you love deeply. It would be an incredibly difficult thing to do. So how many of us have surrendered or would surrender that much to God? I know that in my head, I'd like to think I would, but to sacrifice a child, my children, to give up all that I love with no vision of escape except the pure trust of God through pure obedience to Him. What happened with Abraham explains why he became God's leading man here on earth. Was Abraham perfect? No. Was Abraham gifted or special in any way? No. His obedience to God was complete in the whole sense of the word. Because of that, he was blessed. Abraham did not do it to be blessed. He did it simply because God asked him to. And I will repeat that again, not only because I stumbled over it, because it's important. Abraham did not do it to be blessed. He did it simply because God asked him to. So I want to look at the 4 points in the definition of obedience and to see how that applies to Abraham and Isaac and ultimately us. So the first one I want to look at, thanks Jay, you're right on the ball, is hearing. So verse 1 actually has some interesting points. Firstly, God was testing Abraham's faith. And I think this is significant. Although Abraham doesn't know it, how God is going to test his faith, it will not only be difficult, but if he wasn't 100% focused on God, he wouldn't be able to do it. And what I love about Abraham here is his quick responses. There's no second guessing. When God called Abraham, he responded immediately and was ready to go like a child to his father. Mary Fairchild notes in Why Obedience to God is Important that the general concept of obedience in both the Old and New Testament relates to hearing or hearkening to a higher authority. So by Abraham hearing his father's call and responding immediately, he's already in obedience to God. It's like when a parent calls a child and they answer straight away, you know that child is obedient. So God then tells Abraham to take his only son, who he loves so much, and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Now, from our perspective, that seems mean of God. How could a loving God ask Abraham to do such a thing? Well, in Matthew Henry's commentary, he points out, strong faith is often exercised with strong trials and put upon hard services. The command to offer up his son is given in such language as makes the trial more grievous, and every word here is a sword. God knew Abraham had strong faith, but he needed to see how far it would stretch. I'd like to think I'd be as strong as Abraham, but I think, to be honest, I think I'd be questioning God. It just means that to strive to have great faith, I should expect to have strong trials. It's not going to be an easy ride. So, hearing God is being obedient to God. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. And John 8:47 says, whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. That is powerful stuff. This is why it is so important to have a close relationship with God, to know His voice and His word. Which brings me to the next point, and I'm going to have a quick drink before I say it. Excuse me. This is thirsty work. Thank you. Okay. So the next one is trust. Did Abraham dawdle about finding reasons not to do it? No. It says in verse 3, the next morning, Abraham got up early. Got up early. That sounds keen to me. However, there was a lot to do. He knew roughly where he was going, so how much he needed to take. He took a donkey and two of his servants, and this meant a lot of provisions for all of them on their journey there and back. In Priscilla Schreier, in her book Discerning the Voice of God, describes the process of Old Testament sacrificial rituals as quite difficult. The process was painstakingly detailed and time-consuming, as well as bloody and messy. However, looking at verses 2 and 3, it makes the whole thing just sound easy. What God has asked Abraham to do could not have been accomplished on a whim. The task was too big and meticulous. Without adequate preparation, strategy, intentionality, accountability, and dedication. Each of these would be required in order to fully obey God's directive. Now, I think these 5 points are really important. So, very, very important when we're thinking about obedience to God. Preparation, strategy, intentionality, accountability, and dedication. These are things needed, tools, if you like, for obedience to God. So those 5 points, I could make a whole sermon, another sermon about, so I won't go into too much detail, but I just want to touch on them a bit. So with Abraham's obedience to God through trust, it meant he had to prepare. So this meant he had to think about where God was sending him, preparing all the provisions and the physical things he needed. But I think it's also about preparing mentally and spiritually. He wasn't whining or asking God why. He just got on with the job and made all the preparations needed for the journey. You don't go on a holiday without adequate preparations. Flights booked, accommodation, checking the weather so you know what to pack or what not to pack, passports if needed, and so on. So this trip needed just as much preparation, if not more. So the next one is strategy. He couldn't let Isaac know what God had told him. I mean, hey son, come with me, I'm going to sacrifice you. I don't think that would have worked. So I don't think he would have told Sarah, although she would have known about the preparations, that he was going off to do something. So maybe his strategy was to say the bare minimum, answer questions, but not give too much information. As we read in verse 7 and 8, when Isaac asked where the sacrificial sheep was. So, and just back in verse 5, telling the servants where to stop, look after the donkey and wait for them, Abraham tells the servants, we will worship and we will come right back. Was this part of the strategy so they wouldn't stop him? Or did he say that because he really believed God would provide another way? I think it could be a bit of both. Don't know. Intentionality. Abraham was on a mission from God. And no, not the Blues Brothers mission. Okay. He had been told by God what was expected of him. And he went out about the whole thing with a purpose. There was no slacking off, no going to friends and asking for prayer, no thinking about it for a week or so and contemplating everything. He got up early the next day. God had called him to do a task regardless of the cost. His love for God far outweighed anything here on earth. Accountability. So taking two of his servants kept him accountable. As far as they knew, Abraham was going to make a sacrifice to God. So if he backed out, there would have been huge consequences. by having that accountability, it also gave him support in being able to trust God and move forward. And we have people around us keeping us accountable, and it enables us to exercise our trust as long as we're supported by them but leaning on God. So as I was writing this, I was thinking of Moses, and when Aaron and Hur were holding up his hands while Joshua led the battle against the Amalekites. And Moses needed their support, but he was relying on God. He needed their support because flesh is weak. Well, the body is weak. But he relied on them. Dedication. Abraham had to be dedicated in what he was doing. No half measures. He was totally dedicated to God. And nothing was going to stop him from doing what God wanted him to do. And I think this is something we need to think about when we're going to do God's work. We need to be prepared as much as we can be. Have a strategy of what we think God wants from us. Be intentional in our actions. Be accountable to others around us. And be dedicated in the task ahead, no matter how difficult it may seem. None of these things detracts from trust. I actually think it helps to show that you are trusting God. So Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust him and he will act." Isaiah 12:2 says, "See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory." Abraham is trusting God with his son to the point of death, but still assured that Isaac will return to him. Now that's trust, which leads me to my next point, submission. Now, we get to the really tricky part of obedience with submission. The definition of submission is the action of accepting or yielding to a superior force or the will or authority of another person. We see in verse 6 a wonderful symbol of submission part of obedience, not only with Abraham, but that of his son Isaac. This moment is symbolic of God the Father and Jesus the Son, as Jesus carried the cross to be sacrificed for our sins. Actually, this whole story has many links to the death of Jesus, and I'm going to actually talk about that in a moment. So how must have Abraham felt as he placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders? Isaac questioning his father about the sheep that needs to be sacrificed. I would be worried. Oh, sorry. Sorry. It doesn't say, but you can almost hear Isaac thinking he's got to be a bit worried now because there's no sheep he can see. Because I know I'd be worried, which now makes sense. I would be worried. Isaac questioning his father, which is what we tend to do to God at times when we don't see things that seem right. Now, there was nothing wrong with the questioning and quite understandable. And I'm sure Abraham understood, just as God understands our questions. But our questions should not be because we don't want to submit to God. Okay? Our questions shouldn't be because we don't want to submit to God. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you." Romans 8:7 says, "The mind governed by flesh is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." So the last verse is very important because we cannot be governed by our flesh, the physical things around us and what we see. All of it does not submit to God. And that is why it's important to focus on God and not the things of the earth. Abraham and Isaac were both obedient to the will of God, no matter the cost. Abraham didn't once think of this earth, but God, which made it easier for him to submit. Which leads to my last point, surrender. Just had another drink. Hang on. Okay, surrender. So I'm not sure what was going through either of their minds at this point. Isaac, as he lay on the altar after being told God will provide a sheep. Abraham, whose faith and obedience had led him to this point. Abraham had built the altar, but maybe Isaac is looking around for the sheep. Oh, and there we go. Sorry. I'm doing really good, aren't I? Hey, hang on, there we go. Page got stuck. This is the point of total surrender, completely giving up themselves to do the will of God. It wasn't until Abraham had tied up his son, put him on the altar, and was ready to plunge a knife into him at that point of what could be deemed as no return, when the angel of the Lord calls out to Abraham to stop. Quite forcefully, by all the exclamation marks in there. Abraham had fully surrendered to God, not thought about himself, his feelings, about his son, just total surrender to God. Now that is obedience to God. So as I mentioned before, there are quite a lot of similarities between this event and Jesus' obedience to God through his sacrifice to us. Derek Spain mentions 30. Now, I don't know a lot about this guy, but I had a quick checkup and he seems legit. So, and if you want a copy of these points, just let me know later and I'll send you a link and you can download it. Or if you want to go old school, I can print it up for you, okay? So in both stories, so here we got both stories, the father leads his son to be sacrificed. Two, a donkey is involved on the road to the sacrifice. Three, they leave their homeland and go to a place of sacrifice. Abraham and Isaac travel to the mountain. Jesus leaves heaven to come to earth. Four, to get from where they are to the place of sacrifice requires a journey. Five, each son is the one and only son of his father. Six, the son is a descendant of Abraham. Seven, the son has been born with divine intervention. Eight, the sacrifices take place on the same mountain, called Mount Moriah in the Old Testament, called Mount Calvary in the New Testament, but also known as Mount Zion, by the way. Nine, the companions that were with them stayed behind, most likely on the hill across the valley called Mount of Olives, when the son went to the father for the sacrifice. 10, the son carried the wood or the cross to the place of sacrifice. 11, the son asked questions of the father. 12, the father knew what he was called to do. 13, the son was submissive to the will of the father. 14, the father was willing to sacrifice his son if necessary. 15, the father believed in resurrection. 16, the father loved the son. 17, a resurrection was prophesied. Now, Abraham said, we'll come back to you. Jesus said, I will rise on the third day. So, 18, the son was laid upon the wood or the cross. 19, the son was bound to the wood or the cross. 20, Abraham had a knife to pierce his son. Jesus' skin was pierced by whips and laced with bones, glass and rocks. 21, the Lord himself provided the sacrifice, the ram, Jesus. 22, blood was shed. 23, the sacrifice was a substitute. So ram, a substitute for Isaac, Jesus, a substitute for our for us. The sacrifice demonstrated was a demonstration of love for God. Men of great faith in God were committed obediently to the will of God. I love this one. The ram was caught in the thorns as Jesus had a crown of thorns on his head. Abundant blessings flow because of the sacrifice. Abraham was tested. Jesus was tested. The son ultimately survived the sacrifice. And the son was resurrected on the third day. Now, Derek explains number 30. Of course, Isaac wasn't resurrected as Jesus was. But to Abraham, about to plunge a knife into his son, he was as good as dead. So to have that stop, it was like being resurrected. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had three distinct moments in which we all know about. And I wonder if Abraham or Isaac was thinking what Jesus cried out in Matthew 26, 36 to 46. When Jesus went off to pray on the night before his death, he cries out to his father three times to take away what was about to happen, but then surrenders with, "Your will be done." Now that is a powerful point of obedience to God. His will be done. He is the creator. He is the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He is our God. So let us show him our love by our obedience to him. Last week, Bonnie, she preached on persecution. Could we be obedient to God to the point of persecution faced overseas? Our pastors are currently facing a dangerous situation with being in China, and not just with their accommodation. Yet they are fully in obedience to God. They heard, they trusted, they submitted, they surrendered. They both were saying this year that they didn't really want to go, but they went. Why? Because they are both in full obedience to God. Could the band come up, please? As we sit here in a comfortable church with its first world problems, are we walking in obedience with God? Do we read and study our Bibles every day? When people in other countries fight to just get one page of a Bible, do we pray and talk to God every day? People overseas are praying for their lives. Do we ask God to guide us in every aspect of our lives? Our obedience needs to be in every area of our lives. What is God asking you to be in obedience with him today? Let us pray. Father God, I want to thank you for all that you do, for all that you are, and all that you give us. Lord, forgive us if we're not fully obedient to you. Help us to be obedient in the small things and everything you have entrusted us in. Open our ears, Lord, to hear your Holy Spirit, to listen to his voice, to trust, submit, and surrender to you, Lord. We ask these things in your precious name of Jesus. Amen.